But the great thing about that, God is all we need. Hallelujah. I believe, Lord. I believe. I want to talk this morning about a promise worth waiting for. A promise worth waiting for. We have so many great and precious promises that we have received from God. And I just want to look at one just for a moment. In the 14th chapter of the book of St. John, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. We'll read a few verses there and then we'll go to Hebrews and see if we can tie these streams of thought into a river of thought that we can take with us. Amen. In St. John chapter number 14, Jesus is speaking, and we'll begin at verse number 2, and we'll read verse number 2 and 3 in the Amplified Version. Here's what it says. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when, if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise worth waiting for. I could dismiss on that right there. That's a promise worth waiting for. Amen. A promise worth waiting for. So let's jump over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're in Hebrews in our Bible study, and we have been enjoying the journey thus far. And I want to look at the 10th chapter of Hebrews because he brings out some things I think that it bears us paying attention to this morning. In the beginning of the chapter, the writer to the Hebrew Christians, he's talking about how that the keeping of the law will not suffice. And he is pointing out in the early parts of the 10th chapter that Jesus was the one sacrifice, the sacrifice for sins for all mankind, and he did it once. So he was trying to, one of the reasons, if you've been following us in Bible study, one of the reasons that the Hebrew writer is writing to the Hebrew Christians here because they're undergoing a certain amount of persecution because their Jewish brethren were trying to get them to not believe in Jesus and go back and revert to the law of Moses. So the Hebrew writer goes to great pains to explain the superiority of Jesus to the angels, to the prophets, and to Moses. This is the context and the mindset that the Hebrew writer is writing to his audience. And they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. They receive, and when you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, you receive not only his birth, not only his life, not only his burial and his resurrection, but you receive the message that he brought down from heaven. And the promise that he made back in the 14th chapter of St. John about him going away and preparing a place for us. He was speaking there at that particular time, but the promise is also to the Hebrew believers who were believing in Jesus Christ at this early time that the book of Hebrews was written, and it's also the promises unto us. To those of us who have received the message of the gospel, to those of us who have obeyed the message of the gospel and put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and put our faith in the teachings that Jesus brought down from heaven, because we remember Jesus emphatically said, he said, my doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but it's his that sent me. He said, I brought it down from heaven. So Jesus brought the message of God. He brought it down from heaven. Again, in every word of God is true. So the Hebrew writer, he encourages his listeners about the confidence that we should have in Jesus Christ, the confidence that they should have in Jesus Christ, although they were going through persecution, or although they were being ostracized, although they were being cut off from the normal Jewish culture and lifestyle. He reemphasize over and over in this book that you're doing the right thing and that you're going to reap a great reward if you hold fast to your faith. I just came by to tell somebody to be encouraged through the word of God that we're doing the right thing by obeying God. We're doing the right thing by making our calling and election sure. We're doing the right thing by obeying God's word. Even though we might be faced with opposition, we get opposition from the inside, we get opposition from the outside, but hold fast to your faith, hold fast to the word of God, hold fast to the principles of God, hold fast to holy living, hold fast to right thinking, hold fast to fasting and praying, hold fast to believing what God has said. I hear the Bible said in one place, let God be true and every man a lie. I heard the Bible also say that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if there's any place that we need to be settled in, if any place that we need to be grounded on, if anything that we need to bank our life and our eternity and our eternal existence on, it is the very word of God, because not one word of God will fail. I hear God said that his word will not return to him void, but God's word will accomplish. It's going to prosper in the thing that he has sent it. And guess what? God has sent his word in us in the person of the Holy Ghost by filling us with the very logos of God, by filling us with the very spirit of God. God is expecting for his word to prosper in us. God is expecting for his word to do great things in molding us, in shaping us into the very image of Jesus Christ. The scripture says in one place, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive a promise. I'm holding on to God's word because I'm looking forward to receiving a promise. I'll go through whatever I have to go through. Wait a minute, I can't be stingy. Let us go through whatever we need to go through, but we got to hold on to this promise. I hear the Bible said that they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. So I'm going to wait patiently and I'm going to wait expectantly, because I know that God is bigger than any one of our problems. I know that God is greater than any situation or combined situations that all of us are going through. We know that God is greater than the situation. It looks like there may be mountains that come up before us, and sometimes we cry out to God to move the mountain. But I hear God said in his word, he said we can speak to a mountain and the mountain shall be moved. So if we have the faith that God has given us, and we have the confidence in who we are in God, not of ourselves, we can go back and look at our situation and speak to the situation through the infilling and the prompting and the directing and guiding of the Holy Ghost of God, of the Holy Spirit of God. We can look at that mountain in the face and say, be thou removed. We can look at our situations and said, you're going to have to bow. You're going to have to bow in the face and in the very presence of God. God has given us power. He said life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when it looks like our situations are closing in on us, we got a promise and we got a sure word from God. He said if we ask anything in his name, believing, we shall have it. So it's time for us to believe exactly what God said. God meant what he said, and God says what he means. We should not let our problems, we should not let our situations buffet us or bully us or bogart us or, if you will, punk us. But we should speak to our problems in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to go. I don't care where you go, but you got to leave here, because thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. So in the face of a problem, in the face of a situation, I got to know what God has declared about us in his word. He said if we ask anything in his name, believing, we shall have it. And listen, sometimes it takes a little while for our faith to reach the point that God will respond in the way that we want him to respond. So we got to lift up our faith. We got to get entrenched in this word of God. We got to hide it, like the psalmist said, in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. And just in case we crossed every T and dotted every I, we have to still stand on God's word. When it looks like things ain't happening and look like we done run through the whole biblical checklist, I still hear God said that my grace is sufficient. So God sometimes is working some things out in us. He's taking some things out of us, and he's molding us into the very image of himself. So sometimes it takes a little while, and that's all it is. But it seems like a long time to us, but it takes a little while for this grace process to work in our lives, because God is building our faith, and he's letting you know you can go through it. You can go through it. You can make it. Don't you dare think about quitting, because I hear God said in his word that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We got the greater one on the inside, and the greater one has given us a promise. In the beginning of that 14th chapter, Jesus was speaking. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be agitated. Don't let your heart be overwhelmed. You ain't got to go crazy when these situations come. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I am the very image of God. Especially what he was saying, look, when you look at me, Philip, you've seen the Father. So all the confidence that you should have, our confidence should be placed solely in Jesus Christ. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So heaven is a prepared place, again, for prepared people. And God is preparing a place for us. And all we got to do is go through whatever comes our way. Listen, God has promised that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Let's look for a moment at human promises. Sometimes human promises with the best intentions, with the right purpose and motive of heart, because of our human limitations, we are not able to keep all of the promises that we made. So we got to go back and apologize. You know, I know what I said, and I meant to do what I did, but something just came up, and just let me explain. I really meant to do what I said I was going to do, but something unexpected came up, and I wasn't able to fulfill the promise that I made. Will you please forgive me? Now that should be the conversation when we fall short of our human promises. But I'm so glad that God never have to apologize for not fulfilling any one of his promises, because no one can accuse God of coming up short concerning his promises. Everything that God has said, he has brought it to pass, and everything that he said, it will come to pass at the right time, in the right circumstance, so we can stand firmly on the promises of God. So he goes now to the writer of Hebrews. He's in the 10th chapter and verse 22, in view of what he's spoken up in the beginning part of that chapter, he's now bringing a word of encouragement. He said in verse 22 in the Amplified Version, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God, and absolute trust and confidence in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I believe what he's saying here is that when we come to God on God's terms, when we repent, and when we are cleansed, when we take advantage of the salvation that God has so generously given us, then we can come to God boldly. We don't have to come to God with a guilt cloud hanging over our lives or hanging over our heads, but we have to come to God with unqualified assurance. I know that
God is who he says he is, and I know that God will do exactly what he said he will do. And because he's a good father, I know that he's going to supply every one of my needs. I know that his ear is always open unto the cry of his people. So the only thing that I have to make sure is that I'm in good relationship with my father. Make sure that there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. See, when there's nothing between you and your father, you can walk into your daddy's room at any time. We can walk into our daddy's throne room at any time, because the sin has already been dealt with on the cross. Because if we, through our journey, if we happen to sin, God has already put something in his word to allow us to still approach him. All we have to do is repent. All we have to do is confess and forsake that sin. And if we confess our sins, God said in his word that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the only thing that's stopping us from going into our daddy's room is us. All we got to do is come clean before we get to the room. And his arms are open. He said, come on, my child. Yes, I know you made a mistake, but you did what I told you to do when you make mistakes. You confessed it. You got it right with me. So listen, you are right with me, son. You are right with me, daughter. Come on in to the presence of God. Come on in to the Holy of Holies. See, Jesus made it possible for us to go into the holies of holies through his flesh. So he made it possible for us to draw near to God with a sure assurance. So now he lets us know. So in verse 23, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. He who promised is reliable. He's sure and faithful to his word. So we got to seize this, because sometimes situations will try to snatch our hope from us. Sometimes circumstances will try to snatch our hope from us. Sometimes people, they may not know that they're being used, and sometimes they do know that they're being used. Sometimes they, glory to God, they don't want to see us with our hope up high. They want to see us down. They want to keep us, glory to God, under their feet or under the manipulation and control that they think they have over us. But I come to declare that we need to seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your promise. With every ounce of energy that you got, hold on to the word of God. Stand on God's word until he bringeth to pass. Let them threaten you. Let the situation threaten you. Let the circumstance threaten you. All he's trying to do, all the situation is trying to do, is sell us some wolf tickets. But we ain't buying them. We're standing on the word of God. Well, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, whatever. Let it happen. But one thing I know, God said that he's coming back for me. So I'm standing on the, you can leave me if you want to, but I know somebody that ain't going to leave me, and that's my Lord, and that's my Savior. So talk all you want, threaten all you want, connive all you want, manipulate all you want. My hope, somebody said, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. I'm putting everything I got and everything I am, I'm putting it on the promise of Jesus, because things are already set in place. That there's not much that really needs to happen before the Lord cracks the sky. So I'd be foolish, we'd be foolish to throw in the towel now. We done been through too much. We done suffered too much. We done been ostracized too much. They done talked about us and put our name out for mud too much for me to back up and give in now. I'm looking for the glorious appearing of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when he comes, every heart is going to be revealed. Yeah, you might have said that you loved me. You might have said that that you like me, but there's something in your heart that ain't right with God. How can you love? I hear God said, how can you love me and keep not my commandments? So how can you say that you love me and everything you're trying to do is to manipulate me and get control over me? What kind of love is that? I show you what love is. God so loved the world that he gave. You need to have that kind of love. Don't tell me that you love me and you're doing things to undermine me. Don't tell me that you love me and you want to have me like a puppet on a string. That ain't love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. We were the enemies of God, every last one of us. Yes, we were. But while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Now that's the kind of love. Wait 1 minute. You mean there's a kind of love that's like that? Yes. And I hear your Bible say, your Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you have the genuine, bona fide Holy Ghost, then you got that same type of love. Oh, yes, you do. So now, by their fruits, I hear God say, you shall know them. What kind of love, or am I expressing love in my day-to-day conversation? Love for my brother, love for my enemies, love for everybody. That, listen, God's love is not discriminatory. God's love is not like a faucet where you turn it on or you turn it off, or you go get your tools and go out to the side of the house, go to the main pipe, and ain't no love coming in here. No, it been not coming in. No, God's love is not like that. God's love is free flowing like a waterfall, like Niagara, if you will. It's free flowing, and everybody who gets to Niagara, you can see the experience of the love. You can see the power of that love. Love lifted us when nothing else could help. It was God's love that lifted us, and it was God's love that sent the promise of his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for all of our sins. And we have a promise. Wait, I got to show you a promise that some have yet to receive, and this promise is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Glory, hallelujah. But guess what? We're talking about a promise worth waiting for, but I got some good news for you. You ain't got to wait for this promise, because the promise has already been dispensed. When was it dispensed? On the very day of Pentecost. They were all in one place, and the Bible said suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Oh God, fill this house, fill this house, fill this house, fill this house. Wait a minute. In order for the house to be filled, then we got to do something. We got to come in here with one mind. We got to come in here with one heart. We got to come in here with one accord. The same God that shook the house, he can shake this house. The same God that filled the house, he can fill this house. But we got to get our mind right. We got to be expecting God to fill this house. Yes, indeed, we got to expect God to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, because that's what he prophesied. That was a promise that he made in Joel chapter number 2, and he fulfilled the promise on the very day of Pentecost. And he said in that second chapter of Acts, for this promise is unto you, is unto you, is unto you, is unto you, is to your children, as any even those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's a promise, but you ain't got to wait for it. Glory to God. I hear God said today is the day of salvation. In the day that you hear God's voice, don't you dare harden your heart. Don't you dare bristle up with pride. You better humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In this text, the writer said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God, he's still pouring out his spirit. In 2017, we are still in the administration of the Holy Ghost. So you need to get filled. You hear what I said? You need, if you haven't spoken in tongues, ask the Spirit of God, give utterance. You need to have this experience before you cross over to the other side, because the Bible declares that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, powerful word, if it dwells in you, wait a minute, if it dwells, that means it lives there. Glory, hallelujah. If the Spirit dwells, that means he set up housekeeping. Thank you, Elder Talbert. That means he set up housekeeping in you. If it dwells in you, that means he's sitting down. He's controlling you. He's moving you. He's teaching you. He's feeding you. He's directing you. He's inspiring you. What is your motivation? It has to be either the Spirit of God or the Spirit of man. Religious sayings and religious words, there's a great difference than having the Spirit of God. Having an intellectual knowledge of the Word of God does not mean you have the Spirit of God. You can't join in. You can't come forward and sign no name nowhere. You got to be born into this thing. This is the church of the living God, and you can't join in. You can't get in by association. I don't care who you ride with, who you hang with, who you roll with. If your name is not on the roll in heaven, you ain't here. You can sit with me down here if you want to. You can come by the house or come by the church. But you ain't in the, if you ain't a part of the church, you ain't going when this promise is fulfilled. We got a promise. Oh, glory. We got a promise worth waiting for soon. And very soon, the Lord himself, oh, God, he ain't going to send no angel. He ain't going to send no prophet. But the Lord, oh, Jesus himself, oh God, he's going to descend. Ooh, God's coming back. He's going to descend the same way. Oh, he went up. We're going to see him, y'all. Oh, glory. I can't wait to see my Savior. I can't wait to see my Lord. That's the promise I'm holding on to. Listen, in that 10th chapter, he let them know that when you first believe, you suffered some things. You were willing to suffer the loss of everything. Ooh, you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. What will a man, what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? So the writer said, that's the mind that the Hebrew believers had. They said, look, we'll suffer for the name of Jesus. If we have to, we'll give up everything. Ooh, just for this promise. Ooh, glory. If I got to lose. Now watch this. I don't want to lose nothing that the Lord has allowed me to have. But if I got to lose it, I'll lose it. Just don't let me lose the promise. Glory. Hallelujah. Because the house on Fuego, I'm looking to leave it behind when God gets ready. Beautiful house. Praise God for it. Glory to God. We in there. But I got another house. Ooh, that is described in the 14th chapter of St. John. That's a house with a promise. Glory, glory. A mortgage. Oh, I feel like preaching now. A mortgage is a promissory note. I'm promising the loan company that loaned me that money that I'm going to pay them every month. And by God's grace, we're paying them every month. But God made a promise, and Jesus paid the note. He paid it on Calvary. Glory, hallelujah. Paid in full. Ooh, we got got some escrow in heaven, y'all. Glory. Hallelujah. We got an escrow account in heaven, and we don't need your refi. Glory. Hallelujah. We don't need your refi. The interest rates are good. Glory. Hallelujah. Because he daily loads us with benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. God's given us a promise that will last from here to eternity. That's a promise worth waiting for. I think that's enough. I got some more, but I think I'll put that in a to-go container. We take that with us. Huh? Take that with us. Yeah, we can travel with that. A promise worth waiting for. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Hold on to that promise. Live like you're holding on to the promise. Your life will tell. You ain't got to ask nobody. You ain't got to, your life will tell. You and the Lord know if you're holding on to that promise. All right, I think I'm going to stop. I remember what Bishop Moore said. It don't take long. When you get it, we can go. Huh? We have a promise worth waiting for. So cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Let me close the verse down with that. Let me close it. My thing ain't acting right, but I'm going to get it. There we go. All right. He said, verse 35 of Hebrews 10, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. Now that's a promise worth waiting for. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Anybody want to be saved?